So last week, if you happened to be here for service, we celebrated, We celebrated confirmation, and we were honored to see 10 confirmands be confirmed. And one of the things that gets repeated over and over, and I'm not sure if you caught it, but when the pastors lay their hands on the one being confirmed, they say their name, and then they say, "Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful." And I struggled over the oddity of that statement because the vast majority of the students last week, and I'm assuming the vast majority of those here, might not be able to do that. If you were baptized as an infant, it's hard to recall that moment. Maybe if you were baptized as an adult, it's still hard to recall that moment because our memory can be fleeting and we don't often even remember what we had last night for dinner. But that statement is said over and over, "Remember your baptism and be thankful." And so what is it that we are remembering? What is it that we are supposed to be thankful for? That's what I started to really wonder about. And I happened to read an article in the Susquehanna Link, which is our conference newsletter, where they were posing that question and trying to give an answer. And this is what they said. They said, "It is not a particular event that you are remembering. It is what has happened to you because of it, what God has done in you, that matters." And yet after reading that, I thought, that's not that helpful because it still has me questioning, what is it that matters? What is it that is worth remembering and being so thankful for? So today, we're going to look at what baptism is and why we should be remembering it and be thankful. And we're going to look at a video, and we're going to see it in three segments. The first segment's pretty short, and he's just going to pose the question I'm already asking. What is it for? And then we're going to see a little bit more of an explanation of baptism, and then a bit of a challenge of how do we live out of that baptism.
Jesus is baptized at the beginning of his ministry, and at the end of his time on earth, he tells his followers that every believer should have an experience like that in their journey. Now, I was baptized when I was 8 years old, but my journey hasn't always lived up to that moment. I've wandered, I've doubted, sometimes I've just rebelled against God. So it begs the question, what was my baptism for? Was it inauthentic? Was it a poor attempt at an empty ritual? Or a rite of passage that didn't stick? What's the point of a moment like that if our journey will still have its struggles? I mean, what is baptism, and why does it matter so much to Jesus?
So why does it matter so much to Jesus? When Jesus leaves, he makes time to tell his disciples and give them a command that includes baptism. In Matthew 28, he says, "Go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And we also see in Scripture that baptism is important to Jesus, that he includes it as part of what matters in salvation, that we need to believe, but that baptism also matters. In Mark 16, he says, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the good news to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." If you happen to be doing the reading plan that follows the Be One, Make One study, we also read a story where it shows us how important baptism is, even in the lives of the disciples after the time of Jesus being on earth. And we see that Philip goes and is traveling, and on his travel he comes across an Ethiopian eunuch who is reading a scroll from Isaiah and has no idea what he's reading. And Philip happens upon him because of God's wonderful timing, and he explains to him what he's reading. And in doing so, in Acts 8, Philip proclaimed the good news about Jesus to him. And as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water! What would keep me from being baptized?" And he ordered that the carriage halt, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water where Philip baptized him. And I love what some scholars say about this story as to what that body of water could be. Was it a large, sizable body of water, or was it something as simple as a puddle? And yet it draws me to this point of realizing that baptism matters, must matter if you're willing to be splashed by puddle water. There's something important that's happening, something worth remembering, something worth being thankful for. Even the early church was willing to make a sacrifice of the importance of baptism. I struggle when we're planning the Easter sunrise service and I find out that the sunrise calendar is going to have me be up before 6:30 a.m. I'm not okay with that. And most of the youth that help also aren't okay with that. But yet the early church, Easter morning, that was the time to celebrate baptism. And they didn't mind that early, before the sun was even breaking, they got up to go into the water to be made new and to have the baptism ceremony happen. So there's something about it. It matters, and it's worth remembering. And so it mattered to Jesus, it mattered to his disciples, it mattered to the early churches, and it should matter to us. Remember your baptism and be thankful. And I think a great place to try to start then uncovering what does it mean to be baptized, what is it we're being thankful for, is to look at the baptism of Jesus. And we look at the baptism of Jesus. It takes place in Matthew 3. We're going to read 13 through 17. At this time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me?" Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all my righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." To me, this passage is a little bit of, I guess, a head scratcher. And it's always made me wonder why Jesus needed to be baptized. Because if we understand it as just a cleansing, that Jesus, while man, is fully divine and he's sinless. And yet here he is coming to be baptized. And it even throws John the Baptist for a loop because he says, "No, you should be baptizing me. It shouldn't be this other way." And yet Jesus knows there's something important that's happening in baptism. And so he makes sure that John baptizes him. Because in that moment, it becomes a naming. The heavens open up, and God declares, "This is my Son." In baptism, God's act upon man, in which he bestows a name for us. He calls us his children. This morning, we were blessed with an opportunity to see a baptism, which was great timing in terms of this as our theme for the Be One, Make One. But in the baptism, after he was baptized, Sullivan, Pastor Denny held him up and he announces his name, but then he announces the name that has just been given. This is Sullivan, a child of God. And that is something worth remembering. In the Bible that I have that goes through the Be One, Make One study that we're reading, there's a devotional segment that follows along with the weeks. And in this week, it explains that for followers of Christ, water baptism is a sign of entrance into a whole new life with a whole new identity. In Christ, we are God's children whom God dearly loves. We have new life offered and a new hope to live into. We are claimed. We are made right. We are ever loved. Baptism is a naming. And in it, we remember our identity as the beloved children of God. And that is something worth remembering, especially when it seems like most of the battles that we face in our world and in our lives today tend to attack our identity. The things that happen that tell us that we're not good enough, we're not strong enough, we're not worthy enough, we're not able enough. And right after Jesus' baptism, by no mistake, the next scene that we see is Jesus going in the wilderness and being tempted. And in the temptations that he faces by Satan, Satan begins with a question each time. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. Yet with Jesus' baptism fresh in his mind, he knew for certain that he was the Son of God. He remembered his baptism in the name that was given him in that moment. And it was a name that was given to him not because of what he had done, but because of who God was and what God said over him. It was not out of his own achievement. And yet in these temptations that happen, Satan is trying to get him to validate his identity based off of his ability and to pull him away from the one who had bestowed that title upon him. So when we hear the story of Jesus' baptism, we are reminded of what it means to be called children of God. And Jesus' baptism doesn't just tell us about his baptism. Jesus is great like this. He always points towards something more. And so in this next clip, we're going to learn about what else Jesus' baptism shows us about another people group struggling with their identity.
It turns out, as is often the case with Jesus, that there's actually a story behind the story. And the story behind the story in Jesus' baptism is the Exodus. When the Hebrew people were in Egypt, they weren't really a people at all. They were just a bunch of poor extended family living in somebody else's country where they were property. Every day they went to work and they were reminded that they had no identity, no rights, no freedom by the lashes that hit their backs when they couldn't make enough bricks to keep up with the thriving economy of Egypt. Can you imagine the feeling of the lashes on your back when you couldn't keep up with the demands of your taskmasters? I mean, how about you? Have you ever come home from a day of work and felt like your identity was nothing more than a cog in a machine? Maybe you feel like even the people who are closest to you in life would rather use you than know you. What happens to our identity when the loudest voices are the ones that beat us down? So God looks down and he sees the Hebrew people, and he sees that they know themselves as slaves and workhorses, but they don't know themselves as children of God, and he decides to do something about it. So he sends Moses into Pharaoh's courts. Moses says, let the people go. Pharaoh says no, and God sends devastating plagues on the nation of Egypt. Eventually, Pharaoh relents, and for the first time in generations, the Israelite people are free. They walk out of Egypt to become their own people. They come up against the waters of the Red Sea, and at that point, Pharaoh changes his mind, and he sends his armies to get them. And what do you do when you think that God has saved you, and then you're not so sure? What do you do when doubt and struggle enter in? Maybe you don't do anything. Maybe God comes through. God sends Moses to lead. He puts his hands outstretched over the waters of the Red Sea, and the waters literally part as the people of Israel walk through on dry ground. Now Pharaoh's armies think they can get to them, so they pursue them. Except as they enter the Red Sea, the waters come back in and swallow them up. And all of a sudden, you're Israel. You've been saved twice already. You're standing on dry ground. You've come up out of the water.
We have come up out of the water too. And in baptism, we are called by God to be his children. In 1 John 3:1, which is our memory verse at the front of your bulletin for this week, it says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, in that we should be called God's children. And that is what we are. Isn't that beautiful? God realized when he sent out his disciples that it was more than just making people believe, but it was also baptizing them because they also needed to belong. Rick Warren in The Purpose Driven Life, he says this. He says, we were created for community, fashioned for fellowship, and formed for a family. We become a part of the family of God when God names us as his children. When we remember our baptism, we are reminded of the family that we belong to, and we should be thankful. I never fully understood until preparing this and then hearing the baptism this morning why we sing that song we sing, when somebody gets baptized? Anyone know the title? Welcome to the Family. And today I paid extra attention to the lyrics as we sang it, and I was amazed at how that's what we're saying. That in that moment, they have been recognized as being God's child, and it's something worth remembering. And so how do we make sure we remember that? There's another story in the Old Testament in which there's another parting of water. It's when Joshua takes the people of Israel through and into the promised land. But something unique really happens in that story because he realizes, because of God's command, that they're going to need to remember this. They need to remember that they are God's chosen people in the new land that they'll live in. And so by God's instruction, Joshua has them collect stones out of the center of the waters that they have just crossed through. And then Joshua says this, "These rocks, this will be a symbol among you. In the future, your children may ask, 'What do these stones mean to you?' And then you will tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Lord's covenant chest." That they will be questioned by your children. "What are these? Why do you keep these stones?" Well, let me tell you about something you need to remember, that we are God's people. Even further down in Joshua, he says at verse 20 in chapter 4, "In the future, your children will ask their parents, 'What about these stones?' And then you will let your children know." I love how when we do baptism, if it happens to be a time when we're also doing a children's message, we tend to let the children crowd around up in the choir loft so that they can see it. And that's wonderful because it's a chance where we're saying, remember what this stands for. Remember what happened at your baptism. Remember what God said about you in that moment, that you are loved. And so we keep a baptismal font out for that reason, so that we constantly remember our baptism. I also like the example that we have of something like a wedding ring. It kind of does the same thing for us. If we were to say, remember your wedding and be thankful, and you looked at your ring as a reminder of that, yes, you might recall more than a baptism because you were older when you got married, if you got married, but you're probably not recalling what flavor the wedding cake was or the details of the dress. It's pointing to something more. It's helping you remember the love, the faithfulness, the sacrificial commitment that happened on the day when two became one. And in the same way, baptism points us to something deeper, to a spiritual truth that reminds us we are part of God's family. And so maybe we need to do something to help us constantly remember that. Just like we wear a wedding ring, what can we do with water in our lives that helps us remember what baptism is about? So whether it be the rain or the morning dew or swimming or washing the dishes, maybe in those moments we can remember our baptism and be thankful, recall our identity and be grateful. Adam Hamilton is the United Methodist pastor, I think in Kansas, right? Yeah, Kansas. And he wanted his congregation to daily remember their baptism. And so he made laminated cards for them to put in their shower to have a prayer on it. And this is what's on the card. It says, "Lord, as I enter the waters to bathe, I remember my baptism. Wash me by your grace, fill me with your spirit, renew my soul. I pray that I might live as your child today and honor you in all that I do." We need to be reminded because it's really easy to have our identity attacked and to forget who we are. There's a book by a woman named Rachel Held Evans called Searching for Sunday, and she talks about how we always long for someone to tell us who we are. And then she says this. She says, "The greatest struggle of the Christian life is to take God's name for us, to believe we are beloved, and to believe that it is enough." Too often we don't believe it's enough, and we only let God speak the words over us that we are loved when we feel like we've stopped making mistakes, when maybe our priorities finally align as they should, if we tithe enough, if we overcome an addiction, if we no longer have doubts. And yet with God, the naming that comes upon us comes well before any of that. And that's what we needed to be reminded of. And that's also what the Israelites needed to be reminded of. Because when they left Egypt, they also struggled with holding on to their identity.
You keep reading, though, and after God brings Israel out of the water, you sort of wonder if he bet on the wrong horse. Because they still have struggles on their journey. They still have problems along the way. In fact, there are moments when you flat out wonder if they lost their identity again after their Red Sea moment. It's like they keep listening to these voices that whisper to them or shout to them and say, "You're not who you think you are." But maybe that's the point. God didn't bring them through the water because they would be perfect. He brought them through the water because he knew that they would wander and that they would need an anchor in their story, a tether to their identity when lies get shouted at them about who they are and their future. Now, baptism for Jesus doesn't just look back to the Exodus. It looks forward too, because our deliverance didn't happen at the Red Sea with Moses' arms extended. It happened at the cross with Jesus' arms outstretched. We weren't rescued from Pharaoh's army, and we've been saved from the slavery of sin. It's not the waters that cleanse us, but they symbolize a life that has gone to the cross with Jesus and come up from the grave with a new identity of freedom in him. Because we're going to have moments when we're tempted to believe that we're the old us instead of the new us. You're going to have voices screaming at you that say that you're not holy, you don't belong to him, you aren't loved. But you and I are given a moment to step into the waters, to feel grace wash over us from head to toe. Jesus says, "Be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Your sins may seem to pursue you, but they've been drowned in the blood of Christ shed at the cross. We've been renamed, reclaimed by Jesus. We've been adopted as sons and daughters. We are children of God. Engage in a defiant act of protest against the voices of shame that chase you and tell the world that you belong to him.
Remember your baptism and be thankful. We remember our baptism because it's an anchor in our story, a tether to the identity spoken over us when the water made us new. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, in that moment, the old self is put to death and we come alive as a child of God. When Luther used to describe baptism, he talked about it was the drowning of the old self. And one thing that he notes, which I think is worth listening to, is that he says that the old self is a mighty good swimmer. And that is why we need to remember our baptism. Because in it we acknowledge not just death, but then life. Death to a person that is not living under the identity as a child of God, and the newness to the life of one who is loved. Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we were buried together with him through baptism into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too can walk in the newness of life." We remember our baptism because it signifies the moment when we die to ourselves and we come to live in the family of God. That Romans passage that's on the screen, I want you to hear it again, and this isn't on the screen for you, but just take it in through your ears, to listen to how it sounds in the Message translation. So what do we do? Do we keep on sinning so that God can forgive? I should hope not. We've left the old country where sin is sovereign. How can we still live in an old house there? Or didn't we realize that we packed up and we left there for good? That is what happens in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we come up out of the water, we enter into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. And when we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father, so that we can see where we're going on our new grace sovereign country. And so each day is truly a new day for us, a day to proclaim what God has already spoken over us, that we are children of God, dearly loved and washed clean by his grace. And so remember your baptism. Let the other voices clamoring to give you an identity be silenced, because the name that you have been given is more than enough. So remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen.